Turn with me to Numbers chapter 23 this morning. Numbers 23, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today in Jesus' name. Numbers 23 is the story of Balaam and Balak. If you remember, Balaam was a prophet. Balak was someone who was not real. He was from Moab, I believe, and he was not real fond of the Jews, Israel. This is the time when Moses and the children of Israel were passing through the land. And so he hired Balaam to curse Israel. And so Balaam says to Balak, build 7 altars for me here. Prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams. And Balak did just as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar. And then Balaam said to Balak, stand by your burnt offering, and I will go, and perhaps the Lord will come to meet me. And whatever he shows me, I will tell you. And so he went up to a desolate height, and God met Balaam. And he said to him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I've offered on each altar a bull and a ram. And then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak, and thus you shall speak. And so he returned to him, and there he was standing by the burnt offering, and he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his oracle, and he said, and so here is the word that God put in Balaam's mouth. This is not Balaam's word. It is the word of God. Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come curse Jacob for me and come denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. There a people dwelling alone, not reckoned itself among the nation. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number 1/4 of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his. Now, of course, at this point, Balak is not real happy. He was wanting them to pronounce a curse upon Israel. And so Balak says to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and look, you have blessed them bountifully. So he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth? Then Balak said to him, please come to me to another place from which you shall see them. And you shall see only the outer parts of them, and shall not see them all. Curse them for me from there. And so he brought him to a field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and he built 7 altars, and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. And he said to Balak, stand here, and let your burnt offering, while I meet the Lord over there. And then the Lord met Balaam, and he put a word in his mouth, and he said, go back to Balak, and thus you shall speak. And so he came to him, and there he was, standing by his burnt offerings. And the princes of Moab were with him, and Balak said to him, what has the Lord spoken? And then he took up his oracle, and he said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He has said, and will he not do? Or he has spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a commandment to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. That's some good word, isn't it? God brings them out of Egypt, and he is strengthened like a wild ox. For there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. Now I know, now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. Look, a people rise like a lioness and lifts up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. All right, we're going to stop there. We're going to look at a few verses in these two pronunciations from the Lord. There's another one in the next chapter, but we're just going to look at these today. I want to really take for a text from verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, will he not do it? And if he spoke it, will he not make it good or bring it to pass? You know, God and his word are very powerful. And it would behoove us as Christians to not just give lip service to the word, but to stand on the word of God. It is the firmest foundation known to man. You know, when you think about construction, and I just recently had a building built and delivered, and it was just amazing watching this guy bring that big building off of that flatbed truck and watching how they do it and thinking about the sheer weight of that thing. And at one point, he's under it putting these little snap-on wheels under those beams on the bottom, and I'm thinking, oh Lord, I hope that thing don't fall on that man. And that's a lot of weight. And you know, and then watching the cement blocks and the other little pieces of board as he leveled it all out and had it sitting on a firm foundation. But I'm here to say this morning, saints, there is no greater, firmer foundation than the Word of God. Amen. It is something that we can stand on. It is something that we can rely on. God's word will never pass away. If he said it, he'll do it. And if he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. If he said it, he'll do it. And if he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. And it doesn't matter what our circumstance is. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what CNN says. It doesn't matter what's going on in the headlines. I could care less about what the politicians say. I, this morning, am standing on the Almighty, never-changing, sure foundation of the Word of Almighty God. Amen. I've read the back of the book. I know we win. I don't get up in the morning and say, good Lord, morning. I say, good morning, Lord, because I know in whom I believed, and I'm persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed to him. I am standing on the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, the other thing I want to look at here in this passage, let's see here. He's received the commandment to bless. The Lord is with him. The shout of a king is among them. I don't know for a fact, and I usually don't like to speculate, but when I think about Jesus being the lion of the tribe of Judah, and I read this passage about the shout of a king is among them, I can't help but wonder, when Jesus died on the cross, as he began to enter that dark abode called paradise and the underworld, if there wasn't a shout of a king. Can you imagine hell shaking as Jesus entered and began to shout? Ah! You know, I mean, you can feel that. There's a shout of a king among them. And of course, we know that the Bible says that he has made us both kings and priests. And you know, once you really feel the Holy Spirit, I mean, you know, there's church. I'm not knocking the Baptists, the Methodists, the Episcopalians, the Lutherans. But you know, some of us have been around a while. We know what it means to shout. Amen. I said we know what it means to shout. To say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God. You know, look what the Lord has done. I said, look what the Lord has done. And you know, I think the more we shout, the more victory we get. Amen? Now, remember when the children of Israel were going across the Jordan, This is already after the 38 years of wandering. And Joshua is leading them on this conquest of the land. And the first city they come to is Jericho with its mammoth walls. These walls were so big and so wide, they say they could run chariots of horses on the top of the wall. That's how wide they were and tall. It was an impenetrable fortress meeting an amazing God. Amen. Now, when they crossed the Jordan, and remember the priest's feet just had to touch the water, and old Jordan stood at attention. And then Joshua told them before the water subsided to stand up and put some pillars and stones there. Now, the reason those pillars were there, they said, as a memorial. It wasn't a memorial to Joshua. It wasn't a memorial to Israel. It wasn't even a memorial to what happened. It was a memorial to God's unchanging, infallible word. Because he said, I'm giving you the land, and he's not a man that he should lie. If God said, I'm giving you something, it's yours. You don't have to say, well, I'll believe it when I get there. I'll believe it when we kill the giants. Or I'll believe it when Jericho falls. It was a memorial to the infallibility of God's promise. I'm giving you the land. Set up pillars so they'll look back and say, see, this was a memorial to the promise of God that God was giving Israel the land, and this is the day they passed in. So they went in, and they're probably thinking, okay, what's our battle strategy? You know, we have generals, and I like studying, you know, current events, especially relating to Israel. And I don't know if you're on Facebook, you saw the big long article I posted, the USS Abraham Lincoln in the Mediterranean with about a dozen other battleships around it. And the ambassador of Moscow was on the ship, and they said something about, is there something that you want to say regarding this? And he said, when you got 200,000 troops in this kind of armada, that's enough to be said. And so I paraphrase that. I don't remember the exact phrase, but that's basically what he said. Well, so Israel is now crossed Jordan, and they're probably looking for some type of general type of battle plan against Jericho. And they look to Joshua, and Joshua says, just walk around it 7 days. Don't say anything till I tell you. What kind of battle plan is that? And so day one, here we go. Just going to walk around the city. What are we doing this for? Because Joshua said it. Now Joshua, you know, when you look at the book of Joshua, I don't know if you remember this from Chuck Misler, Joshua, of course, is Yahshua, which is the name Jesus. And the book of Joshua is a type and shadow of the book of Revelation. You even have 10 kings in there, just like the 10 horns are the 10 kings of on the global government when you get to Revelation. So they're both about Jesus displacing the enemy and taking the land, which he's going to do in the last days, right? So this is really cool. So they walk around it 6 days without saying a word, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. And on day seven, what was this we read in our text? The shout of a king is among them. Joshua says, shout, for the Lord has given you the victory. Now, notice what he said. He did not say, shout, because the victory is coming. He did not say, shout, and then we'll win. He did not say, shout, in present or future tense. He said it in past tense. The Lord has given, past tense, you the victory. You see, the victory is given on the promises of God. Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he'll do it, and if he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. So the victory was won the minute God said, I'm giving you the land. You know, would to God that we could start living our lives in full assurance of God's promise, we would be shouting a whole lot more. when we quit looking at how high the mountain is or how high the walls are or how big the giants in our life are, and we start getting back to the promises of Almighty God and start standing on them in full assurance that if He said it, He'll do it, then there will be a shout of a king among us and the walls will begin to fall. Hallelujah to God. What a day that's going to be when the church begins to grasp the surety of God's Word. And that's what we need, church. That's what I need. I need it more. I'm confessing to you. I need to do this more. The Lord was talking to me about this. That's the sermon. You know, I heard a preacher years ago. I was sitting under a preacher years ago. He used to always say, "I don't practice what I preach. I preach what I practice." Well, I'm here to tell you, sometimes I preach to myself. I don't always do it right, but when I get a word from God, I share it with you because I figure if I needed to hear it, you probably do too. And we need to stand on the Word of God. It's the sure foundation that we can stand on. Amen. And so they walk around the Jericho, the impenetrable fortress. And on day 7, he says, "Shout, for the Lord has given you victory." And they shout. And the walls fell down flat. Now the archaeologists have excavated and they have found the walls. And they said, "We don't really fully understand it other than it's like the Bible says. You know, some walls like that, if it was an earthquake, they would crumble down. If there was some wind, they would all be at least the same direction, but they all fell down flat outwards." It's like the Lord was in the middle of the city and just stomped His foot one time and those walls went when they fell down flat. And the children of Israel took the land and God got the victory because of the bedrock of God's Word. Praise the Lord. Now in the New Testament, there was a centurion who came to Jesus because his servant was sick. We remember that story. And he said, "Lord, my servant is deathly ill." And Jesus said, "I will go and I will heal him." And he said, "Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. He said, "But I'm a man of authority. I say to people, go, and they go. And I say to these guys, you get over here, and they do exactly what I said." And so I understand principles of authority, and so all you need to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus marveled at this guy because he had more faith than the church. That was the church of the day, the Jews. But if it was today, I think he would marvel because this guy had more faith than a lot of people in the church. Because he said, "I don't need you to do anything. I just need you to speak the word." The word of God. Remember in the beginning, God said, and it was so. It is the power, the life-giving power of the spoken word of God. And the centurion said, "All you need to do is just speak the word and my servant will be healed." Ooh, yeah. And so God, help us. Help us to remember what Balak didn't want to hear. That God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he'll do it, and if he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. Now, there are multitudinous millions of precious promises in the Bible. And we need to dig them out and stand on them. I suspect that there is a promise of God in the Bible for every problem that man would ever have. I'm sure there is. And you might say, "Well, you don't know what my problem is." Go look, and when you can't find it, come back and tell me it ain't there. I guarantee you, if you look hard enough, you will find it ain't. I'm an okie. Okay. I'm here to say that God has given us His Word for a reason. It's not just something to carry into church on Sunday morning or read a little devotion on every morning with coffee. It is the Word of God. It is sharp. It is powerful. It is able to cut asunder. It is the Almighty Word, and God is not a liar. If he said it, he'll do it. And if he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. Now, let's talk about Peter for a minute. He sees Jesus walking on the water. Now, this is the word that came to me this week. Woo-hoo! And I've taught, and you've heard it said before, that Peter sunk because he took his eyes off Jesus. And I'm sure that that has some basis in truth, because we do need to keep our eyes on the Lord. I did a sermon about that not long ago. And the storms of life do take our eyes off Jesus. However, the question is, what was Peter walking on? And you say, well, he was walking on the water. Well, if he was walking on the water, then why did he sink? Was the water, did the water's composition change? Was it hard at one point? You hear about hard water. Oh, I got really hard water. Not as hard as the water Peter walked on, right? Did the composition of the water change from solid to liquid again? See, here's what the Lord told me. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid to me to come to you on the water. And Jesus spoke a word, one word, come. And the Lord said to me, Peter was standing on the word, come. You hear what I'm saying, church? Peter, he didn't say, Lord, I think I'll come to you in the water. And Jesus nodded. He said, bid me to come to you on the water. He wasn't about to step out of the boat without a word from God. There's a lesson in that, isn't there? There's a sermon in that. Don't step out of your boat until you got a word from God. Don't just jump out there willy-nilly and think, well, I will do like Jesus. You better get a word from God. Amen? And so he got a word from God. Come. And he walked out, and he's standing on come. He's standing on the word of God. And yes, he took his eyes off Jesus, and yes, he began to sink. But did the storm that took his eyes off Jesus take his eyes off of Jesus or also the promise? You see, one day we can read a verse and we say, Lord, I needed to hear that. I'm going to stand on that word. And then the next day, some disaster happens. And you just totally forget that you were standing on this word. All you can see is the problem. All you can see is the giant. All you can see is how high Jericho is. And all of a sudden, you're not standing on the word. And so we have to stand on the word every day. Why? Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Amen? Now, let's talk about Esther for a minute. Esther was put in a place by God, but she had a choice. She was given a choice. Her uncle Mordecai said, Esther, you don't know that you have not been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, Esther knew, if I go in there to the king and he doesn't lower that scepter, I'm going to be headless, Esther, right? And so that's a scary thing. We can't comprehend the culture of the day, but obviously it was not something that you would just go do. I mean, just like Peter not getting out of the boat without a word from God, she wasn't about to go in there without the assurance. And remember, she had them all pray and fast, everybody. But I believe that Mordecai's words were from God when he said, Esther, you don't know that you have not been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. And he also said, you know, God will raise up somebody to deliver Israel if you don't do it, but you don't know what will happen to you and your household. And so the object of our topic here is not just something that we can take lightly and say, well, somebody needed to hear that, but I didn't. Because you don't know that God hasn't have a certain time for you to have to stand on his word. And if you don't step out there by faith and stand on it, God will get somebody else, but you don't know what your future may hold. Amen? God has blessings for us, but they are conditional upon our action. His love is unconditional, but His blessings are conditional. We have to obey God's word. We have to stand on God's word. We have to do what God tells us to do. And so, in closing this morning, I want to remind you that Esther said, "I go unto the king, and if I perish, I perish." That's a scary statement. But what she was saying is, I recognize that God's word was to me. That this verse, you know, we flip through and we look and we see this verse and we say, that's for me. But maybe it tells you to step out and do something that outside of your comfort zone. Maybe it tells you to step out and talk to someone that you don't want to talk to. Maybe it tells you to forgive someone you don't want to forgive. But the words of Mordecai, you know, you don't obey this, you don't know what's going to happen to you. And so it's all fun to talk about God's word and standing on God's word, but we have to remember that there is the other side of it, amen, that we are accountable to God's word and that we need to take that accountability through, amen. So, in the words of Balaam, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he'll do it, and if he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. And that's something that we can stand on. And so when we see a promise of God and we say, "Lord, you said the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, and I have financial needs, I'm going to stand on this word." You stand on it today, but you also stand on it tomorrow. You stand on it when the bank account's empty and not just when you got money in the bank. You stand on it when you've got food and not got food, even though you don't know where it's coming from. You stand on it in the good times. You stand on the bad times. You stand on the Lord is my healer. You stand on His ability to heal. He's got healing in His wings. You stand on it. Stand on it when your back hurts. You stand on it when your head hurts. You stand on it when you're sick. You stand on it regardless of the report of the doctors. Whose report will believe? God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he'll do it. And if he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. And so we stand on the word of God, and then we become like Peter. Amen. And we say, well, you know what? Doesn't matter what the wind does. Doesn't matter what the waves do. Doesn't matter what the giants look like. I'm just going to stand on the infallibility of the Word of God. Amen. One up, Nola. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's right. And today, you know, everything may be going good. We don't know what tomorrow brings, do we? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night, and he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaves also will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. The ungodly are not so. That's right, the tree. Do the tree. Let's all stand and have a word of prayer, and we'll have a victory song in closing. Lord, we love you and we thank you that you have given us the promise that you will not lie, that you will not change your mind, that if you said something, we can stand on it. And we understand, Lord, that Peter was standing on just one word from you.
Hallelujah.
One four-letter word. And a miracle happened. A miracle. People don't just walk on water. It was a miracle, Lord, because Peter stood on one four-letter word, but it was a word from the mouth of Jesus Christ. It was a word from God. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, to stand on your word as we face life's challenges every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you in the Spirit of His love. your life and satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the thing that holds you and the spirit.